Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to thank NACA and OIE for inviting me to this conference and OIE for funding my participation in this conference. So to many of my colleagues that are here, I'm very glad to see you again. I hope that this is a very productive conference for all of us. So the topic of this, of course, is early mortality syndrome. And a more descriptive name of the principal pathology of the disease is acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome. And as this talk progresses, you'll see the reason why I believe it should be called by a name like this to reflect the principal lesions that the disease produces. Anyhow, in this presentation, I'm going to be showing you samples, histopathology samples of shrimp from the southern part of China that were collected in August and September of 2010, samples from the Mekong Delta in South Vietnam from in July of 2011, December 2011, and then most recently, at least some of the gross specimens were just from last week, July, August of 2012. I'm going to touch very briefly on, at the end of the presentation, on some studies that have been done in my laboratory where we've looked at feed samples from affected farms. We've looked at toxicity studies with crustaceicides. And we've also done several infectivity studies in my laboratory using frozen material from affected farms in Vietnam. So that'll be at the very end of my presentation. Let's start with gross signs. One of the observations I had while I was in Vietnam last week is that many things are being called EMS. Among the diseases that falls under the category of EMS is white spot. You know, we have to be sure that we're talking about this EMS or acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome and not something like white spot when we're talking about this. So the gross signs may be enough to at least have a presumptive diagnosis of this disease. So with this disease, there's a significant atrophy of the hepatopancreas, at least in the more advanced stages of the disease. Perhaps in the earlier stages, if you take out the hepatopancreas and pull back the capsule, the connective tissue capsule of the HP, hepatopancreas will be very pale to white underneath the HP connective tissue capsule. Sometimes there'll be, especially in the more terminal phases of the disease, there'll be black spots or streaks that are visible, and this is due to hemocyte activity and melanization of those hemocytes in response to, in this terminal phase, there's a very prominent vibriosis, as you'll see later in this presentation. So in response to sloughing cells and the secondary vibrio infection, we do get lots of hemocytic infiltrates with melanas that become melanized. Now, the last thing that I noticed in the last couple of weeks is that with EMS, a normal hepatopancreas will squash easily between your thumb and forefinger. You can just smear it around quite easily, and it'll squash. But the HP from a shrimp, particularly more in the terminal phase of EMS, doesn't squash as easily. It's more rigid. It's probably because of the large amounts of connective tissue and hemocytes that have infiltrated into the hepatopancreas. So that's another characteristic that you can use pond side to help you make up your mind if you're looking at EMS or white spot. Now, with white spot, the hepatopancreas should be normal, just as a comparison. Okay, so here are some photographs then of some shrimp with EMS. This is a monodon with a very, very pale white hepatopancreas. You know, it's atrophied. There's a little bit of material in the gut, and that's probably sloughed epithelial cells. Anyhow, this particular one is significantly atrophied. These are two Pinnaeus vanami from Vietnam. The one on the left has EMS. This is just through the carapace. The one on the right looks to be perfectly normal. So, this is sort of for the sake of comparing normal with EMS. Then if you remove the hepatopancreas, thank you for reducing light. This is much better. Both of these shrimp there's one here with an atrophied hepatopancreas, and then here's another one with an atrophied hepatopancreas. So these are smaller than they should be, but they're fairly early stage. These might still crush fairly easily between your thumb and your first finger. Here's another pair of hepatopancreas, another very pale one. These are also from Pineus vanimi, with slight atrophy here and a significant atrophy there of the hepatopancreas. And this one shows some black spots. If you look carefully, you see some black areas there, which is very indicative of EMS. These are monodon. This one on the left is normal. It has a normal hepatopancreas. It's large. It's pigmented. Probably has a fairly normal lipid level. This first one on the right, the hepatopancreas is atrophied, but it's somewhat blackish. And then this one has a very tiny hepatopancreas. It's considerably atrophied and very dark with a lot of black streaks. So apologize, the quality of the photograph is not perfect, but you can still get the idea that, from normal entering into the terminal phase to well within the terminal phase. So when we look at the histopathology of this disease, and what we see is dysfunction of the hepatopancreas. There's, various theories on what kind of agent causes EMS at this time, or acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome. It may be an infectious agent. There may be some sort of a toxic material that's in the environment. At any rate, what happens is that we end up with a loss of tubule structure and normal cell morphology. There's some evidence that it's infectious because but that has not been proven. And there's also some evidence that it may be toxic from the environment, from feed, some source that has yet to be demonstrated. The last thing we see is a massive secondary bacterial infection. And at least in my laboratory, when we do either culture work or 16S ribosomal analysis, we find the principal bacteria that we isolate are species of Vibrio. Usually parahemolytic, Vibrio parahemolyticus or Vibrio harveyi are the most common two that we've found in my lab to date. Anyhow, here's a few examples then of shrimp that show the first phase of this disease, which is a hepatopancreas dysfunction. So I'm going to start with normal. So the emphasis here is this is a normal hepatopancreas. The normal hepatopancreas looks, at low magnification, this is about 4x magnification. So we see here's the midgut down here. Here's some muscle out here. This is the hepatopancreas capsule. The tubule tips are these structures here. And that's where, in a few minutes, you'll see a diagram of the HP. But this is where the E cells are, the cells that are mitotically active that produce the cells in the hepatopancreas. The foamy-looking cells are R cells. They're the ones that store fat. And the cells with the larger vacuoles, these are B cells, or secretory cells. And then these dark cells are F cells. These are all from German words that I won't even try to pronounce. The Germans were the first to describe the crustacean hepatopancreas, and they assigned names to the different cell types. Okay, so with that, then let's look at a diagram of the hepatopancreas. Again, the E cells are at the tubule tip, right against the hepatopancreas connective tissue capsule. So these are the dividing cells. This one just shows, rather than be confusing, they don't show a mixture of F and R cells. But F cells then are the ones that have a high ribosomal content in their cytoplasm, so they appear basophilic with normal H and E stains. They develop into B cells, which are the secretory cells that produce digestive enzymes. On the, these should be mixed. There should be R cells and F cells mixed together, but for sake of simplicity, these are then R cells are the ones with the fat droplets, the oil droplets. So they're not, they're in shrimp. We don't have solid fats. We have a lot of unsaturated fats. So that the oil droplets are in vesicles in the cytoplasm of these R cells. They're circular muscle fibers that that surround each hepatopancreatic tubule, and these are involved in peristaltic movements of the organ. So here's a higher magnification view showing R cells with all of the very small fat vacuoles, and with normal processing, the fat is removed. B cells are the large secretory cells. Here's an F cell. Here's another F cell. So these are the cells that will eventually cycle into B cells. And then out at the tubule tips, against the connective tissue capsule of the HP, we have mitotic figures where the E cells are actively dividing. So that's normal. When you compare that to EMS, things look completely different. Here we see massive hemocytic infiltration. There's hemocytes in amongst the tubules. There's sloughing of hepatopancreas epithelial cells. This one is still early, fairly early stage, so there's not very much bacteria evident at this time. You'll probably get tired of looking at all these histopathologies pictures, but bear with me because I want to tell the complete story. This is a 20x, so it's a higher magnification. There's another characteristic of EMS is some nuclear hypertrophy, or we call it cardiomegaly. So it's slight. It's not huge nuclear hypertrophy. It's significant enough that is part of the definition. The cells lose their function. If you look carefully here, you'll see no R cells, no B cells, and no F cells. So the hepatopancreas, even at this stage, has lost its function, and we have none of those cell types. We still have a few mitotic figures. Like this looks like a metaphase plate. Here's another metaphase plate. So that some of the E, at least at this stage, some E cells are still dividing. Here's another one with a very prominent hypertrophied nucleus, and then here's a telophase mitotic figure and an E cell. So there's still mitotic activity, but also we have this very prominent cardiomegaly in many of the cells. You know, there's several examples here of cells that are maybe almost twice as large as they should be, or at least their nuclei are. We have some sloughing of epithelial cells. Here's another very prominent nucleus that's enlarged to perhaps twice its normal size. I've been skipping back and forth between Peneus vanimi and Peneus monodon, probably. But notice in some of these, this is a Peneus vanimi at 40x, and we have cardiomegaly, very prominent examples of that. Again, no B cells, no R cells, no F cells. There's no cellular differentiation here. The cells have stopped differentiating and are actually maybe regressed to a more primitive stage. Here's one. This is a Peneus monodon from Vietnam where the tubule tips are about the only thing that's still even recognizable. Everything else is just with a very acute, massive sloughing of the epithelial cells, also with a fairly pronounced hemocytic infiltration occurring. So this is all sloughed cells in this tubule. This tubule is full of sloughed cells, as is this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. This one over here, almost all of the tubules, except for the very distal tips, are showing this massive, very rapid onset of rounding up and sloughing of the tubule epithelial cells. And that then, because the basement membrane is denuded, there's a very prominent hemostatic response to the denuded tubules. This is a higher magnification, again showing massive sloughing, but the distal tubule tips are still recognizable, even though these cells are not normal. You know, we see some cardiomegaly here, slight cardiomegaly at least, but we don't see any bacterial. At this phase, we still don't see this massive secondary bacterial infection that we see in the terminal phase of the disease. So notice that the most affected areas are proximal, and the last ones to be affected are distal, which is another characteristic of this disease. And this one is even more obvious, where the proximal part is heavily hemocyte infiltrated. There may even be some bacterial involvement in this particular example, but some of the tubules, the distal part of the tubules up against the connective tissue capsule, are the last to be affected. This is another Pineus monodon, and it shows very much the same thing. Lots of sloughing epithelial cells, some hemocytic infiltrates in amongst the tubules. There's a lot of hemocytes in this area. In addition to, you know, there's sloughed epithelial cells filling many of these tubules. And as the disease progresses, we start to get secondary bacterial infection. So these tubules have Vibrio growing in them. You see the massive amounts of sloughed epithelial cells here that have come from sloughing of the epithelium from the tubules. Here's another example over here. But at this stage, we start to see some involvement of Vibrio as well. So at a higher magnification, with H&E, Vibrio, most bacteria stain blue, and you can start to see this bluish coloration of the bacteria within some of the tubules. Other areas like here, there's lots of sloughing going on, but not a significant amount of bacteria present at this time. So in the early phase of the disease, we have this massive sloughing of the epithelium cells of the hepatopancreas, but not a lot of bacterial activity. That seems to become... this is a perfect source of nutrients for bacteria to grow on. And so in the terminal phases of the disease, that's what's happening. Opportunistic Vibrio are growing in this, using this as a source of nutrients and actually killing the shrimp. So this is a Pineus vanimi. Again, the reason I'm skipping back and forth from monodon and vanimi is to make the point that the pathology is the same, whether it's vanimi or monodon. The pathology is very, very much the same. So here we have sloughing, we have anaplasia of the cells, and cardiomegaly, and so on. This one's at 60x with a few nuclei that show some very prominent cardiomegaly. Now I want to move on into destruction of the hepatopancreas in the terminal phase of this disease. So in my lab, we also do in situ hybridizations. And so the next two slides are designed to show that perhaps some of the early stages, and you've already seen one early stage where we had some Vibrio growing in some of the HP tubules. Well, there's some Vibrio growing in here as well. You know, maybe there's some of this blue area here in amongst these sloughed hepatopancreas epithelial cells. But with a gene probe, you know, it's very, very obvious there's a lot of bacteria there. One other thing to notice here is this is this particular probe that I'm using on this section is one that we make with universal primers to the 16S gene. So this is a universal probe that will recognize any kind of a bacterial infection. So notice that, you know, here's a tubule here with no intracellular bacteria. So we don't have an intracellular bacteria. Here's another tubule over here. There's nothing in intracellular in EMS. We've looked at quite a few sections and concluded that there's nothing. No, there's no intracellular organisms as part of EMS. But here's a low magnification. This is a 4X. This is a vanimi. Here's the heart. Here's the anterior midgut cecum. Here's the stomach. Here's some muscle. Here's the ventral nerve cord. So this is a mid-sagittal section through the hepatopancreas. And this one is late, probably middle. I should not say late, but middle terminal phase of the disease. If we'll look at this area right here at a higher MAG in the next line. And you can start to see these bacterial microcolonies. Some tubules are completely filled with bacteria, but some have sloughing cells. Like here, there's a lot of sloughing cells, but no obvious bacterial involvement yet. There's a lot of hemocytes, so some tubules that are completely denuded have lots of bacterial growth. You know, every place you see blue, these large blue clumps, these are masses of bacteria, presumably a Vibrio. This one is from this South China. Here's another one, the same one, just at one more step up. This is at 20X, and you get a better look at the bacteria that make these up. And you can even begin to see some bacterial rods, you know, which are typical of Vibrio, even at this magnification. And you see a lot of slough cells. So this disease, again, hence the name acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome, because we still have cells that are being sloughed, but they're not totally destroyed by bacterial activity yet. And they're not, you know, I mean, they still have recognizable nuclei. So they've been rounded up and sloughed while the cell was, still alive, still. So it's highly acute. This is a Pineus monodon from Vietnam in the terminal phase. This probably from an animal that was moribund when it was collected for sure, because there's almost nothing left of the hepatopancreas. There's not a normal tubule anywhere in there. Massive amounts of bacteria. Lots of areas where there's just remnants of sloughed epithelial cells. So I think this is a higher MAG. This one shows that, you know, there's only a few recognizable cells, but the rest is just a mass of sloughed epithelial cells. There's a lot of hemocyte activity around the denuded tubules, lots of bacteria in many of the tubules as well. And then here's yet another one. This is a Vanamee from Vietnam. And this one shows a lot of melanized tubules. And that's when you see black streaks grossly in the hepatopancreas, this is what you're seeing, is this melanized material that comes from hemocyte activity. So here, high MAG of that area, you see multiple bacteria within these melanized tubules. And then this one, high MAG, you know, there's a few slough cells that are still kind of recognizable, but for the most part, you know, there's hemocytes with pycnotic nuclei, lots of hemocytes, and maybe even some fibrocytes within the lesion. So then, in summary, then what we see with this acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome is a very low activity of B and R cells. It's much reduced. In fact, it's very difficult to find in some specimens any normal cells, at least in most of the hepatopancreas. Now, the disease is also sometimes multifocal. So you might have a normal, fairly normal area right beside an area where there's a lot of sloughing of cells. We see a low mitotic rate in the E cells. You see rounding up and sloughing of the hepatopancreas tubule epithelial cells, intratubular hemocytic congestion or inflammation. The pathology starts proximally and then moves distally. So there's a proximal to distal pattern, our progression of the lesions. And so the distal end of the tubules, they're the last area to be affected. And we see cardiomegaly with prominent nucleoli. So these enlarged nuclei are a prominent feature of this disease. The terminal phase of the disease is a very severe bacterial infection of the hepatopancreas during the advanced or terminal stages of this disease. This appears to be secondary because, you know, it's hard to find particularly with gene probes, you can find small amounts of bacteria in the hepatopancreas, but finding significant quantities early in the disease is not an easy thing to do. So our belief is that at least this terminal phase is a secondary opportunistic infection. And the last point to make is that it doesn't matter if it's vanomy or monodon, the pathology is the same. So the proposed name for the disease is acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome, or AHBNS. Case definition, I like this definition. Maybe we can come up with a better one, but at least for now, this is a good place to start. It's idiopathic, meaning we have no idea right now what caused us the disease. We don't know if it's infectious or if it's toxic. The pathology is there's an acute progressive degeneration of the hepatopancreas that starts medially and moves distally, and we get dysfunction of B, F, R, and E cells eventually in all of the affected tubules. We see prominent cardiomegaly and necrosis and sloughing of these tubule epithelial cells. The terminal phase of the disease shows marked inter- and intratubular hemicytic inflammation and development of secondary bacterial infections that are occurring using all these slough cells as their nutrient source. So you just get this massive secondary bacterial infection that's probably almost certainly what ends up killing the shrimp. So what do we know to date? Now, initially, in my introductory slide, I was talking about that I'd talk a little bit about some of the studies that have been run in my lab. But one thing we know is that there's a severe hepatopancreatic dysfunction followed by a terminal Vibrio infection of the HP. We know that. We know that Vibrio species may not be the agent of acute hepatopancreatic necrosis syndrome because the terminal phase of EMS appears to be due to opportunistic growth of these Vibrios. In my laboratory, we collected feed samples from affected farms, and we fed the feeds, and we didn't reproduce the disease. So we don't think that feeds have anything to do with it. We tested cypermethrin in my laboratory, and we were not in static renewal bioassays just in water. And we also added it to soil at the kinds of levels that are being found in soil in some of the ponds in Vietnam. And we were not able to reproduce the disease with cypermethrin. We've run several assays now for an infectious agent. We've looked, possibility that we might be working with a virus or a parasite or bacterial etiology, but we have not been able to reproduce the disease in my laboratory as of this date. The experimental designs for viral, for example, we either feed chopped carcasses to specific pathogen-free shrimp, or we inject cell-free filtrates into the specific pathogen-free shrimp. So if we inject unfiltered material prepared from EMS shrimp into the indicator shrimp, the shrimp die within the first 24 hours, and by histopathology we find that they die of a massive Vibrio septicemia. So, but we've passed MBV, from monodon to monodon, so we know that our, at least per os, that our tissues are, that we've been using in our infectivity studies are acceptable at least for that virus. So, we've come up with this big negative here to date on all of our assays. Bacterial, if it has a bacterial agent as its cause, it's going to be a little more complicated than just, one bacteria being the cause, because we have not been able to demonstrate any of the EMS type lesions with just straight bacterial challenge. So I'd like to acknowledge, first of all, the OIE sent me to Vietnam last year, and also this year they sent me to Vietnam again and to this conference here in Thailand. I'd like to thank the Department of Animal Health in Vietnam for local arrangements. They've been very helpful in making sure that the trips that we did in Vietnam were very productive. The Unipresident Feed Company in Vietnam has funded some of our toxicity infectivity studies in my laboratory. And CP Foods of Thailand has funded some of our recent work on EMS. And the World Bank and Global Aquaculture Alliance help pay for my travel on this particular mission as well. So with that, I'll close.